sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Theta Chapter, in the University of North Florida, and moved up the rank of being, a vice president, and then eventually president, undergrad president. And I say all these things because each milestone, each step of the way, not only did I have individuals that believed in me, that poured into me. Hi, my name is Dr. Latanya McNeil of Quest to Excellence Consulting, and I'm the CEO, founder, and owner of the company.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, I'm doing it like DJ Vlad style or Say Cheese. Y'all don't see me, but I'm here. I'm in the building feeling like, yay. So that's a little Bay Area thing, my Bay Area folks to know. But today I have Dr. McNeil, and she's going to give us the game on Quest. Quest 2. You're going to think, what, the Oculus? What? No, no, no. This is educational consulting. This is if you need to be fine-tuned with your soft skills, your business skills. She has more degrees, as they say, than a thermometer, and she's working on even more. So, it didn't just stop at the doctorate, but she's going to give us a game today. So, Dr. McNeil, welcome to Diversify a Game. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you, Kellen, for having me this evening.
Well, thank you for coming on, because you are so accomplished in the educational field, which we're going to do another interview about that when I can get full permission. We're not going to tell the people what that is, but you also have this business and you have such a kind heart. I know that you're a giver, so I had to get the game. So when I'm telling people about you, they can see you, they can hear you. Why did you start Quest? And what was the purpose? Is it just because you didn't have enough to do with all the degrees you had?
No, Kellen, that's a great question. So for me, being an educator of over 26 years and even having a background in corporate America before going into education, I've always been in the mode of mentorship. I've been in the mode of coaching. And for me, it's always been about meeting a person where they're at. I believe everyone has skills. Everyone has untapped talents, whether they recognize it or not. And so for me, it's been more about and why I founded the company Quest to Excellence, because I believe we all inherently want to live our best life. We want to excel. We want to do more. But sometimes we may not necessarily have the tools, the guidance, or the skill set to know how to move forward in that journey. And so that's why my company, and that's why I'm here, a part of this journey, to meet individuals where they are and help them to truly be their best, to be on a journey to excellence, the better version of themselves.
And that sounds like usually when people are like that, because when givers give, it's usually because in your, going up the ladder, you feel like maybe you could have used more help and you didn't get it. So you want to give what you didn't give. Kind of like when people didn't have a daddy, then they want to be a daddy and they want to overdo daddy. Right. Talk about that journey of, when you were coming up the ranks, because people can see you now and say, oh, you got all this education and she got the fine car out there. And even the car has its own tags and degrees. Now, if y'all know what I mean, It has, it might have 33 of them. But can you talk about, just coming up and how you learned these skills? Was it school? Was it trying times? Or was it just everything was so easy in life that you say, why not get more degrees?
Well, no, definitely wasn't. So a little bit about me: born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. Many know it as Duval County. From a single parent home. My parents divorced very early when I was really about 2 or 3 years old. They went to separate, but I had a phenomenal mom, an only child. And my mother always talked about the value of education being the key. And certainly, I lived in what was then best known as a blighted area, but my mom kept a very comfortable home, and made sure that I had a space to study. And it was just, a great environment. Although maybe exteriorly the neighborhood at times was not the best. What I found is, and what's so important, I encourage other parents to really look for leadership opportunities for their child. And I remember in the fifth grade was my first leadership opportunity when a teacher saw in me some type of leadership and asked me to be a patrol girl in the fifth grade. Now, granted, you had to have good citizenship had to have some pretty decent grades, whatever the grade criteria was. And I didn't really know a lot about patrol, but it was really about safety and being a student leader and help and working closely with the faculty and the staff at the campus. And I in a very short time, I excelled at being the captain of the patrol. So that was really my first leadership opportunity in fifth grade. And then so when I went on to college at the University of North Florida, my next leadership journey was actually being on Student Government Association, in which I, again, that was great to be able to work in a diversified environment, on the team environment, be able to respect others' opinions, learn to meet in the middle, learn to agree to disagree at times. And I eventually became, a leader and an officer with SGA. I majored in biomedical science at the University of North Florida. End up being the president of my science club, and then joined my illustrious sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Theta Chapter, at the University of North Florida, and moved up the rank of being, a vice president, and then eventually president, undergrad president. And I say all these things because each milestone, each step of the way, not only did I have individuals that believed in me, that poured into me, that mentored me, that coached me, but they saw something in me. And I always encourage young people to seek out some opportunities, along the journey that can be a platform for the future. And so that really kind of set the foundation. So definitely didn't have a silver spoon. Always believing in having a very high work ethic, believing in holding myself accountable, setting realistic goals. And when I didn't necessarily have the tools or the wherewithal, I sought help, So even in college, I never was so prideful to not go to the tutoring center. And I remember in math, even majoring in science, I needed to be in the tutoring center, especially with calculus.
Wow, you went to elementary with your accomplishments. So many people I know, and people would be like, I was shy. I didn't want to, I didn't want to take advantage of the opportunities, whether it was, the crossing guard, whether it was working for the newspaper. I remember people saying, why do you work for the newspaper even in middle school? And it was just something in me that I just knew. I was just trying to get some exposure. Were you trying to get yourself out of poverty even then by saying, let me take every opportunity that I have? Well, because other people sat down and just watched, but you were
Right.
definitely a doer.
Right.
So it's just in you. Who put that in you, and what were you running towards? Give us the game.
So definitely I would say, yeah, my goal was to be better, to live better. Although I think my mother had me in a bubble, and she kept me very sheltered from the socioeconomic space I was in at that time. My mother never owned a car. I didn't have my first vehicle until I was 26 years old. I recall catching two city buses, one from where I lived at to what was downtown Hemmings Park at that time, to catch another bus just to be able to get to a 9 o'clock or 8:30 class. So I was up as early as 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. It was a drive and a desire, and it was my mother's support and her encouragement. And more importantly, I have to speak about my mother because I remember when I was about 9 years old, and my mother was an older parent. She had me late in life, and she was telling me about the value of education. And I remember saying to her, "Well, Mom, did you ever go to college?" Very inquisitive child always. And she said to me, "No, I haven't, but that'll be fixed in the next couple of weeks." And she ended up enrolling at the local state college at that time, a community college, Florida Community College, literally within 2 or 3 weeks after that conversation. And she continued on even to my alma mater, University of North Florida, transferring. But she set the tone and the value, and I remember even sitting in classrooms because she didn't have anybody to watch me by being an only child and not really having family that much. Sitting in a classroom at her classes, when she was taking it in the back, of the room. So I would say, yeah, my mother was a tremendous motivator for me. I had other mentors that poured into me along the way, professionally as I grew through the years. But that was definitely the stepping stone to want to do better, have more, and certainly wanting to, even enhance my mother's life, which eventually I was able to do while she was with me as I got into my career.
Wow. I say, say her name, say her name. Say
Ruth.
mom's name.
Our name is Ruth. Ruth Williams McNeil.
We love moms. We love moms, whether they are here with us physically or just, you know, you can always feel them and you can hear them more than
Right.
anything. Can you tell us, have you been able to find out the billion-dollar question? What separated you from so many others in Duval County who still to this day may be there, they may be somewhere else, but they say, I never had a chance. And you had the same opportunities. Maybe they even had two parents, right? But
Right.
what separated you? What was that driving thing that always kept you going?
I think that sometimes we have to create our own motivators. You know, we have to celebrate ourselves. And I remember when we have to have realistic goals. And so I remember when I would you know, even pass a test, an exam in college. You know, I would treat myself to ice cream. You know, or I would buy myself some if I had the funds or whatever. You know, and so it's always about seeing yourself. When I was And I give this to a lot of people. When I was working on my doctorate degree, I actually printed off a copy of the doctoral roll, and I actually wrote on the paper, Dr. Latanya McNeil. And I actually give that clue to a lot of people because it's the ability to see yourself, already visualize yourself. And that's important when the roads get rough, and they will. They will for all of us, and they do. So to answer your question more specifically, what separated me, I think one is it's a desire for more. It's the ability to know how to balance, you know, work-life balance. That's been a key, and being organized. You know, a lot of times people are not able to, I think, in my walk, to meet some of their goals because they're not strategic. They're not laser-like focused. One has to focus on that vision. One has to make sacrifices. And I would say that's been big for me. There's been time throughout my life that I couldn't hang out with friends. I couldn't go on that girl's trip or and go to the whatever. You know, I had to study, you know, I had to prepare. And so one has to look at when we talk about the game, it's the end game, it's the end goal and the sacrifices you have to put in before then, the things you may have to give up to get there.
Now, when you say give up and you can always do the things, now your life is full of events, right? We're not
Right.
gonna get into all of it because again, y'all, I'm gonna have another interview where we're gonna do it in a whole nother setting. Right now, we're in her office right now for Quest, right here in South Florida, Palm Beach County. But when you see people who weren't willing to give up what you gave, what do you tell them now? Because you still have folks, you know. Going to the club every Friday,
Yeah.
going to the club every Saturday, going to maybe sometimes they even go to church, and that's not probably the best thing they're doing, but they're still, you know, they're caught up on every show. They know all the characters from the Housewives to whatever junk TV is out there. And then here you are making TV, making moves, been in the news plenty of times. You can Google her name. You guys look in the links in the description, wherever you're seeing this or listening to it, and see the things that she has done. But what do you say to those people? Because some people feel like they're just, I'm addicted. This is just my life. I can't do anything else.
Right. You know, I would say to those individuals, you know, again, what are your goals? You know, I challenge, you know, I oftentimes ask people, you know, I'm my life coach and I am a certified life coach. I ask them, well, where do you see yourself in a year or 2 years or three? You know, and sometimes I have a lot of people, you know, really cite these goals or their predictive goal. And some was like, I'm just trying to wake up and see tomorrow. So I would say we can't be tunnel vision. And if that's a mindset, I would really encourage, I never tell anybody what to do. I like to use in my life coaching word, I invite you. I invite you to consider, you know, and I invite you to consider that to really look beyond just the hand that's in front of you and look on the opposite side of that equal sign, you know, and what skills, you know, do a self inventory. What skills, what talents do you have that really could parlay into some monetarily, you know? You know, you may just like to take a bunch of pictures, you know, and you're always that person around your friends that like to take photos. Well, who knows? You may could start a photography business, you know. So everyone I just inherently believe have skills. I just say it is about sometimes you got to put it on paper. You got to create short-term and long-term goals. You got to be able to set wins, small wins, and you got to celebrate the wins, you know? And I think that's the biggest thing. We have to celebrate ourselves. I would like to see more people celebrating themselves and just having more motivation sometime. You know, I think we all can accomplish. We just have to know the roadmap to getting there.
Any habits that even, because all of us, like you say, we go through things at different levels, but are there any things that you can tell somebody listening to say, either, try this or stop this? Because again, the billion-dollar question, how do I reset? How do I, some people feel they're too old, and you're never too old. I tell people my grandmother went to college, and finished later in life. I'm like, man, granny just finished. Are you telling us to go to school? So, like, what can they do the first or the second step today when they're listening to this and while they share this with somebody else to say, hey, timestamp, go check this out. What can they do that anybody can do? Because they look at you now, you Dr. McNeil. So you're special. You riding clean, all white, white on white. I don't want to say too much what it is because I'll be looking for you. But talk about that.
Well, I think the first thing is write it down. Think about what you want to do. Write it down and be able to say, okay, I'll give you an example. If I say that I want to be a physician, okay, great. You know, what it doesn't matter what age, you know, let's not focus on the age people. I want to be a physician. First thing I'm gonna ask is, okay, you like science? No, I don't like science. Okay, but we understand if you've done your research, and that's important, you have to take a lot of science classes. So that may not necessarily be a match. So I think we one have to make sure that when we're writing or looking at our goals, that they're realistic and they're aligned to our skill set and what our likes and desires are. Second thing I would say is in your circle, you have to assess your circle. And one of the things I will also say is more than just who I am. I've tried to keep a very positive circle all my life. You know, I surround myself with what I consider people that are very light-minded, that were very positive, that were very supportive. That inner circle is key because if you have individuals, no matter what you know or what you do or where you're trying to grow, that are destructive in your life, you won't hit your end goal. You can literally have your dreams just blowing up overnight by persons that are in your circle and maybe doing something totally to the left. So I would say that's the second thing. Really assess your friends, and as you build your friends, your network, make sure that piece is in play. Then I would say prepare your family, whatever your family looks like, whether it is your children, whether it's a spouse, a significant other, whether it's your parents, you know, be able to say, look, this is my goals, and these are some things I have to do to reach that goal. And whether it is, hey, I'm gonna be up at 2 o'clock at night sometime working on something. You know, I have to, if I'm trying to work, you know, X amount of hours to hit a financial goal, then you may not see me as much. So I think you have to sit down and prepare your family and get your buy-in. You know, that is critical. And I think it's something we don't talk about enough, you know, that familiar, that significant other, that friend support. Then I think you just have to then look at your life, you know, and be able to line your life up. So if in the past, before you set some goals, you were just hanging out, or even if you were nothing wrong with going to the gym, we should have that. But if you spent like in your evening time 6 days a week going to the gym, but yet you want to now work on a goal, do you when are you having time to work on your goals? So you're gonna have to pivot your life a little bit. You still need to go to the gym, but what else can you carve time now? And I do think you gotta carve time. So now it's that balance. And one thing I focus on is work-life balance. And in as much as scaling, I appreciate you know, you highlight the things I do. I really do try to have downtime. I travel, whether it's out of country, whether it's within the United States. I spend quality time with friends, whether it's in person, whether it's over lunch, you know, whether it's over the phone. So it's important. And that other thing is faith, you know, for me. And faith may look different for everybody. And I'm not here to speak about, you know, different doctrines of religion, but whatever that faith or that meditation or whatever that keeps you grounded or can get you focused or you believe in or they can just motivate you or encourage you, that's what I've had. And for me, it's been my faith, you know, that has been my personal driver, you know, my personal faith level, you know. So those are just some tenets of things that I would just really illuminate to allow for that sex. And I think you had to reevaluate yourself. You know, you may very well start doing something and you have to say, okay, am I really hitting my targets? You know, do I need to keep doing this? It's that continuous improvement cycle. And I think that I can't speak enough of that. Don't keep sticking going 100 miles an hour and you're not hitting your targets. You got to have milestones. You got to have some minor wins. But if you get no wins and you're working on something 2 or 3 months, you probably have to reevaluate what can you do a little bit different.
Now, this next question I ask all my people, all my guests, this. So think about it, because for the next interview that we do, that may be in a whole different location, I'll say, dang, you do too much, right? Because they're not doing enough, or they want to do more. But what is a community give back that you're doing, or even maybe with Quest, that you want to do in the future? Because everybody has something that, especially someone like you. Who does a lot, you know, what is something you want to do without giving up, you know, too much of the other stuff? When they do Google the name, they'll say, man, this woman need to run for mayor or governor or something.
Well, for me, you know, I've always had a heart and passion for students that with disabilities, you know, and their families and their parents. So up under the umbrella of Quest to Excellence, I do want to form in the future, hopefully the near future, a foundation they can support advocacy for families, you know, particularly who have children with disabilities and they may need some guidance and support navigating the school system, whether it's public school system or whether it's private or homeschool, in order to be able to best get the resources that their child needs in order to be successful. Moreover than that, a lot of families don't know that when their child goes to should their child elect to go to college, that those services with the appropriate medical documentation are different than they submitted in at a K-12 environment can translate over. So they still can get extended time on tests, on assignments, and just a bevy of accommodations at the collegiate level. So that is something really tied to my brand, to Quest, that I want to do is form a foundation to help those students and youth and mentorship, but particularly students with disabilities.
When you start something, whether it's a program or whatever you're doing, does doubt even come into your head?
No, and I know it's a very old cliche that's been around about failure is not an option, but I guess that's, you know, you asked earlier about questions about what has allowed me to, I guess, in my whatever sense, be successful. I've never really thought about failure. When I tackle anything, whether I approach a job interview, we all get a little nervous. I'm not trying to act like I'm superhuman because I'm not. We all get a little shaky. We all get a little nervous, you know, get a little anxiety. But for me, I feel as though as long as I'm moving forward and making strides on something and just, you know, asking questions, research, and doing my piece, you know, networking, whatever those things I need to do in that space, you know, then I'm going to be successful. For me, unsuccessful is doing nothing. For me, unsuccessful is not trying to study, not trying to resource, not trying to pick up something and move what I'm working on. That is unsuccessful. And that piece, I've just never, I hold my high self to a high standard. I always have. You know, even as a child growing up, I've always held myself, I'm self-accountable. And I talk to myself like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing more? You ought to be shaming yourself. So those are some things that you know, I think you have to check yourself because in the end, when you're in that car by yourself and you're driving down the road, you're looking at and that up in that mirror, that rearview mirror, and nobody else in that car, you know what you're doing and what you're not doing. And I think we all need to hold ourselves accountable.
And how do you do that with love? Because you'll have people who will, you know, even have a business that they're not working in their business, but they'll tell you they want to own an NFL team. They'll tell you they want to, you know, be the president of the United States. And it's like, you didn't even finish your GED. How you gonna do that? And how do you do it with love? Because I think those are one of the things that all of us, especially me, I need help, because I just want to tell you straight up, I'm from the Judge Mathis school of thought. Like, I'm gonna call a crackhead in hopes that we can help you get off that and substitute that crack for something else. But how do you do it with love? Because I see you just doing it with love, giving love, showing grace. Give us the game.
Well, that's very funny you say that because for me, you know, as a person that has whatever sense or measure of success people think I have, I am very compassionate. I am very sensitive, to the words that come out of my mouth to others' ear, knowing that words either build up or they tear down. So I'm aware of that. So it's oftentimes, again, and this is where my life coaching skill come in. I ask people, well, okay, so you say you want to be an underwater welder. Okay. Let's talk about that. Have you done any research about how you get there? I like to take them on a conversational journey. Have you researched anything about, what cities or states that's popular in and there's jobs around that? How many hours are there some local schools around here doing underwater welding? So it's more about taking them on a discovery and more than saying, hey, how are you gonna be an underwater welder and they only do that in Key West and you're in West Palm Beach and you haven't even Googled it. I mean, yeah, we could be just like frank like that and turn a person off, but look at how I did it. I'm still kind of taking them on a journey. I'm filter feeding them information. I'm hopefully opening up their mind where they're thinking about, well, yes, no, didn't think about that, maybe, okay, kind of, sort of. So that's really definitely where I think my life coaching piece comes in and helps me in conversation with individuals.
You guys are getting game from the doers. We're not telling you it's going to come overnight, but if you put in the work now, give it 3 months, 6 months, watching a year, your life will not be, it won't be the same. I'm going to have links in the description, but let people know, where they can find you, how they can contact you, and even more importantly, how they can hire you. Because if y'all come with any free 99, she's going to let me know, and I'm coming direct. I have my ways, but let them know how they can hire you
Yes.
and let them know where your prices start so they can save up their coins before contacting you, because you will have people, well, I got $5 to spare.
Well, first of all, I'm on LinkedIn, which obviously is the professional platform page, and so you can certainly reach out to me, connect with me there, friend me there. Inbox me there on LinkedIn in terms of Quest to Excellence. And you can see, many of the other things and affiliation, the work that I've done professionally under Dr. Latanya McNeil. Secondly, I would say in terms of price point, it depends. A bevy of my services on the Quest to Excellence, I do executive coaching, given the fact and just for those that don't know my degree, I have a dual doctorate, one in organizational leadership and higher education, and also have a master's degree in law. So for me, it depends on what services you're asking for. And so I would say the services can range for on the low end, just starting around by $200 an hour. Sometime, obviously, if I'm just doing a basic consulting, and it depends, I might just do, a 15-minute or 30-minute entry-level consulting package. It depends on what it is, but certainly, I'm always willing to kind of hear what a person is asking for and assess some of their services. But it depends on what the wraparound services are. Now, if I'm doing corporate training, that would be a whole nother consulting package, and I would need to sit down with the corporate leaders and really see, what they're looking for, what they want me to help with, whether it's doing business logistics, training whole faculty, they're training their leadership team, they're preparing internal leaders or whatever, So it depends.
You guys, I'm gonna do everything that I can to make sure them prices quadruple. I'm telling you right now, with all the education and experience and the things that she knows. So you better reach out now. Say, well, I don't have every. You don't have to have everything. Ne nobody and none of us have it all figured out when we start. But you better start. And right now, I want you to make sure you start and you like this game, subscribe to this game, because this is a game you can use, as well as the most important thing, share this game with somebody. It will change their life. Y'all be blessed.
Hello, everyone. This is Latasha Blanton from the Real South Africa Travel and Tourism. And you're going to have the opportunity to travel with Phil Scott to
sunny South Africa. You guys are going to have the opportunity to come to Johannesburg, and you guys are going to be coming to Durban. And we're going to set it up perfectly. It's going to be like a luxury experience for you guys. At the same time, you're going to be getting some culture. And of course, you're going to get an opportunity to talk to Phil, hang out with Phil, and get his views on Africa and South Africa.
You're also going to get an opportunity to explore the lifestyles here that are available in South Africa. And we're going to do all that for you in an amazing 10 days. We do hope that you go to the website and book, because we do look forward to seeing you here.
Absolutely. Our website is therealsouthafrica.com. Go there, scroll down. You'll see a picture of Phil, and just go ahead and book there. So we'll see you here in what we like to call sunny
South Africa. Africa.
Are you tired of the rat race in America? Are you ready to visit the motherland to relax and rejuvenate? Are you ready to explore all that Africa has to offer? Then check out the brand new Diversified Game Academy course, Prepare for My First Trip to Africa. Are you worried about being able to afford the trip? We got you. We will show you how to travel either on a budget or as a baller. Learn how to stress the value of the USD. Did you know that 100 United States dollars is worth over 1,000 South African rand, or 10,000 Kenyan shillings, or 54,250 West African CFA? Are you worried about taking your kids? Get the game from Kellen Cash, a bona fide world traveler, having traveled to almost 20 countries, several of those in Africa. Get the game on taking your kids on their first trips. Learn how to find the best tickets, get the visas, and plan your own adventures in Africa. Don't let Eddie Murphy have all the fun. Plan your own coming to Africa trip, starring you, produced by you, and featuring you. If you are ready for a life-changing experience, sign up for our course today, Diversified Game Academy. Get prepared and purchase at diversifiedgame.com.